The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahbika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyullah wa ala alika wa sahbika ya Nurullah. Mashallah, viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to our special series of programs Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in these series of programs, we look to our rich heritage, the heritage that the Muslims have. Look to our rich past, look at our pious predecessors, look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can learn something from yesterday, make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. And today we have a very, very serious topic. And to be honest, the more I read about this topic, the more I realize we need to speak about this topic. I don't think it's a topic that we can speak enough about, because it's one of those diseases in the society that have actually become a cancer of the society. It's so widespread. And what is even worse regarding this disease, it's such a disease that we don't even know that we have it. You know, imagine being ill and not knowing you're ill. And imagine loads of people being ill and not knowing that you're ill. And slowly, 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 it's eroding your way. But before we begin, as usual, we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today's benefit that we have is that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Shibli Baghdadi rahmatullah ta'ala has said that I dreamt about my late neighbor and I asked him, how did Allah azza wa jalla treat you? He replied, I faced immense hardship. I was even unable to answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir. I thought in my heart that perhaps I've not died in the state of Iman. Meanwhile, I heard a voice. You are being punished for using your tongue unnecessarily in this world. Astaghfirullah. Then the angels of torment advanced towards me. But meanwhile, an extremely handsome personality wearing sweet perfume appeared between me and the torment. He made me recall the answers to the questions of Munkar and Nakir, and I replied accordingly, Alhamdulillah. The torment was withdrawn from me. I humbly asked that revered personality, may Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy upon you. Who are you? He replied, I have been created by virtue of your act of sending Salat al-Nabi abundantly, and I have been assigned to help you in every hardship. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views on Mother Channel, just one of the blessings of reciting through the Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And you know, whenever I give you a blessing reciting through the Paak, I think to myself, well, how much is it costing? You know, a lot of people, they take certain multivitamins or certain shake drinks or certain protein drinks or certain protein bars to build them up physically so that they can become physically fit and healthy. And people buy multivitamins and they buy these things and these capsules and all these things so they can protect themselves. And obviously this costs money. Them protein shakes that you have, them multivitamins that you have, all of the medicines that you have, all of them extra things that you have to maintain your health. And if people say, well, I need to eat fruit regularly, I need to eat meat regularly, I need to eat all these things regularly so I can have a good health, then I have to have all of these things. And obviously that costs money. How much does sending salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cost? Allahu Akbar. And if only we realize the benefit of it. The benefit of sending Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than any vitamin tablets for your body, better than any fruit or milkshake or fruit juices, whatever you had that make your body stronger. This sending salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you watch Madani Channel, you'll realize it benefits you in so many different ways. And here we have one example that your salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come to safeguard you at that time of that hardship. And there are numerous and countless blessings. And whole, if you keep on watching Madani Channel, viewers of my channel, that you will see that on every program, literally on every program, we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Paak. So please, I've said it many, many times before, and I continue to say it. Please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, make sometime, or when you're traveling, when you're coming backwards and forwards, during your routine, we're not constantly 24 hours working. Yes, we may be driving a lot, we may be working a lot, but we can use our tongue at the same time and send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that we send today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Here's the channel. You're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And Allah Azza wa Jal has sent humans to this world for a brief period of time, for a specific purpose. And that is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Now in this short period of time, humans have to do preparation for a long time, troublesome matters of the grave and the judgment day. Thereafter, they should perform more and more good deeds and try to protect themselves from every type of sin. Particularly, the one that we're talking today is the sin which is committed as a result of the tongue. And we heard in the blessing of sending salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that that person, he was being punished. He was being punished to such an extent that he felt that he had died without iman. He died without the state of iman. He was being punished that severely. And he was told that this is the punishment. This is the punishment because of your tongue. And again, viewers of my channel, I don't think we realize the amount of punishment that we are going to face on the Day of Judgment. And if we can only understand what the lightest punishment is, then maybe we'll understand it. Someone wrote, he said that if all the illnesses in the world, and currently at the moment we said that in this world there's maybe 7 to 8 billion people in the world, all the problems that they are facing, all the hardship that they're facing, all the diseases that they are facing, all the pain that they're facing, everything that they're facing, imagine all of that. Imagine all of that hardship, imagine all of that pain, imagine all of that difficulty, all of that agony being put in one person. Being put in one person, yes, one person. This person said that would be not equivalent to the lightest punishment in the hellfire. The lightest punishment in the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. And surely a wise man is he who tries to safeguard himself, protect himself, so that on that day, when he is in his dark and lonely grave, on that day when he has to cross the bridge of Sirat, on that day where your book of deeds will be exposed and everybody, you'll not be able to hide from, you'll not be able to make excuses, then surely, as sensible human beings, you would say that you need to prepare yourself for that day, because that day is inevitable, that day is going to come. And today we're talking about the sin of backbiting. The sin that is used with the tongue, which is a sin that is haram and is a sin that leads to the hellfire. And this sin of backbiting is such that it's prevalent in the whole of society. And the book of Amir al-Sunnah that he's written, which is translated into English, backbiting, a cancer of society. And that's what it is. It's a cancer of society. But unlike other cancers, where when people have the cancer, they have some sort of physical things happen to them. They become weaker, they lose weight, they have digestion problems, they have other sorts of problems. And part of the treatment is that they have the chemotherapy and they end up having to lose their hair and all sorts of things that they have. But people have this disease. The person sitting next to you right now, as you're watching me on Madani Channel, the person sitting next to you right now may have this disease and you won't even know it. And what is even more worrying than the person sitting right next to you that's have that disease, you might have this disease right now and you won't even know it. The disease of backbiting is such that we don't realize. And I've said many, many times on this program before and other programs that we need to self-analyze ourselves. We need to look at ourselves and say to ourselves that, look, I haven't got this, have I? Have I got this illness? Because this is what it is. It's an illness of the soul. It's a disease of the soul. It's a disease that's eating away. Do I have it? Now, before you know what the disease is and whether you have it, you need to understand, you know, what are the symptoms of the disease? How can you tell that the disease is happening? And how do you know that you've got it? How can you check yourself? You know, you can take, if you were, you know, clever enough to take your own blood out, but you couldn't take the blood out and analyze it yourself. You've got the blood in front of you and they're, okay, well, it's my blood. What do I do? I don't know. But unless you are proficient enough, qualified enough to be able to have the facilities there to analyze that blood, you will not be able to tell what diseases you have. In the same way that although you know that these diseases happen, you need the knowledge to be able to check yourself, to see whether you have them symptoms, to check yourself to see whether you are prevalent of this disease. And so, viewers of my channel, we need to constantly keep on watching programs like this and programs on Madri Channel where we talk about the diseases of the soul, and hopefully we can learn something from it. And in today's program, we're going to give you some examples of some of our pious predecessors, of how they ran away, effectively kept themselves away from this illness. But also, we've got a whole list of some examples, just a few examples. And maybe the list might be quite long. We might even have 100 examples with us of terms that we use that are actually backbiting. Once Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he went to attend a feast. And people were talking to each other, and so-and-so person not arrived yet. Upon this, one person said, "Oh, that fatty is very lazy." When Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullahi ta'ala, heard this, he reproached himself. And he said, "Alas, I have been facing this trouble because of my stomach. I have come to a gathering in which backbiting is being committed against a Muslim." After saying this, he left and he did not eat anything for 3 days due to this grief. And according to another narration, for 7 days he didn't eat anything. Similarly, viewers of Madani Channel, Sayyidina Hazim rahmatullahi ta'ala said that Sayyidina Mamun rahmatullahi ta'ala did not commit backbiting against anyone, nor did he let anyone commit backbiting before him. Rather, if someone tried to do it, he would prevent him. If the person stopped doing it, so it was all right. Otherwise, he would leave the place. Now, these pious people of Allah did not tolerate at all the disrespect of a Muslim, because this is what backbiting is. They even turn away from the gatherings and feasts in which backbiting is committed against Muslims. A question that we want to ask ourselves: have we ever walked out of a gathering in which backbiting is being committed? Now, for walking out, one must also see and feel that, is it possible for me here to rectify the situation? Because then, if you're in a position where you can rectify the situation, if you're in a position where you can solve this and stop people from doing this, then you should do so. You should say to the person, "Brother, this is backbiting, don't do it." Yeah? Or I remember once we were in a gathering and Nigrani Shura, he just said Medina. And that was enough to, like, people think, "Why, what on?" And everybody in the gathering reflected and realized that this was wrong. This statement that one brother made was wrong. And so it is wajib upon us that if we see someone committing a sin, we should try and stop them. But then if we take the step forward, I ask you the question, have we ever left a gathering? No. I don't think many of us will have left the gathering in which backbiting is taken. And the reason why that we have not left that gathering is because we do not understand what backbiting is. We don't understand it. We don't have the definition of it. I say to you, leave a gathering in which backbiting is taking place. You're going to say, "Okay." And you'll stay in the gathering. Why? Because you don't know what backbiting is. So this is something that we face. I'm going to give you the definition of backbiting. And then, inshallah, we'll go to the first package of the day. Sheikh Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Maki Shafi, rahmatullah ta'ala, has narrated that the blessed Islamic scholars have said, listen to this, carefully listen to this. If you take nothing away from this program, just take this definition of backbiting. So all my viewers, I know you might be drinking a cup of tea, you might be having something to eat, you might be getting ready, but just please, for these few moments, just listen to this definition of backbiting. To mention the fault which a person has is called backbiting. Whether the fault is his religious matters, worldly matters, personality, character, wealth, children, wife, servant, imama, behavior, manners, clothes, smile, lack of common sense, rudeness, politeness, and anything that is related to him. Examples of backbiting against the body: calling someone blind, lame, bald, midget, lanky, tall, black. Examples of backbiting against religious matters: corrupt, thief, deceitful, oppressive, lazy in offering salah, disobedient to parents, etc. This is the definition of backbiting. Even if it is true, if it is not true, then it's slandering, and that's even worse. Now, you may say, "Well, he doesn't mind. I don't mind if I call him fat. Yeah? Everybody knows he's fat. What's wrong if I call him fat?" Now, he might laugh it off and, "Yeah, I don't mind you calling me fat. I don't mind at all. Yeah, I'm okay." Yeah. But inside his heart, he's not happy that people are calling him fat. He's not happy that people are calling him lanky. He's not happy people are asking that. He's calling him small, or whatever they're calling him. Yeah. People that wear glasses, the phrases that they come out about them, specky four eyes and all these sort of things. He will not be happy. In his heart, he will not. Now, in front of you, say, yeah, I'm okay. Because he has to. He cannot be seen to be soft in society because people will make more fun of him. You can't take a small joke. We're only joking about you. Yeah, but you wear glasses, so what's wrong if we call you four eyes? Because you've got glasses, what's wrong with it? You are fat, so what's wrong with it? He cannot show his grief, he cannot show that he's upset, he cannot show that he's angry. But what we need to understand is think to yourself, that would that person really be happy about that? Now, if he was to say behind his back that he's a great person, he was to hear it, then he would be happy about it. But if you say anything defamatory about him, and we mentioned the things that anything, and them anythings cover so many aspects. We mentioned though just his physical experience, his clothes, his car, his house, everything. Anything that can be affected about him, which is defamatory, which is negative about him, which if he was to hear would hurt them, then that would be classed as backbiting. And I think now, if you pause for a second, viewers of the channel, and ask yourself, do I backbite? And now, if you're honest with yourselves, there'll be very few of us that can admit that we don't backbite. There'll be very few of us that will be able to safeguard themselves from this cancer of society. Now, I mentioned a book earlier on, Backbiting, the Cancer of Society. I think it's a must need. It's an incredible encyclopedia on this one topic. I don't think in the history of Islam there's ever been a book written with so much detail on the topic of backbiting. And I think we must all read this, and we must all be aware of this illness of society and try and prevent ourselves. So again, now we need to be honest with ourselves. This is the next point. And inshallah, after the break, we're going to give you some examples. But we need to be honest with ourselves and think to ourselves and reflect to ourselves that in all the gatherings that I sit, what is the discussion? Who do we talk about? What do we talk about? What do we say when we're talking about a certain individual? What do we talk about when we're talking about a certain thing that's happened? You know, if that person was here, would we still be talking in the same way? You know, when you're in a gathering and there's three people there and you're talking, if the fourth person came, would your conversation change? If it would change, why would it change? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. And in most cases, it would change because we've been talking about that person. Now that that person is here, we have to change the topic. Why? Because previously, when he wasn't here, we were backbiting against him. So again, viewers on my channel, this is where you, as Muslims, we, me, all of us, everybody that's watching, we need to reflect and think to ourselves that am I affected by this disease of backbiting? We're going to go to a small break now, the first package of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic of backbiting and how our pious predecessors hated it. And inshallah, we're going to give you as many examples as we can today in the short program so that maybe we can reflect on it and realize our shortcomings. Let's go to the first package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Respected viewers of Qadrishay, there is a saying of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum, meaning baraka is with your elders. No doubt. There is salvation, there is blessing, there is baraka in following the footsteps of our pious predecessors. If anyone lost his parents in childhood or at very young age, he should remember Sayyidina Musa Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, who was ordered to be killed, murdered by Fir'aun, and how his mother left him in the basket and thrown him into river Nile. But subhanallah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. If someone finds it hard to follow the hukum of Sharia, follow the commandment or order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should remember Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, how hard it was to slaughter one's own son in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it was order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam became ready to sacrifice his own beloved son, Allahu Akbar, and son was also ready to be sacrificed. Inshallah, we'll find it easy to act upon the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ever get worried and get fed up due to any disease or any illness, then remember the sabr of Sayyidina Ayyub ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. And if ever a woman invites towards sin, then one should remember Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, how he guarded his chastity and he refrained from that sin and invitation. Subhanallah, we should also protect ourselves from all sorts of sins, because these are our role models. Our pious predecessors are our role models. We should follow their footsteps. And there is a salvation, there is a barakah, there is a blessing. for us. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And today we're talking about backbiting and how our pious predecessors would hate it. And, you know, when we looked at this topic, one thing also came to my mind is that we should also develop that hate for backbiting, that dislike for backbiting. That not only should we look at ourselves and see whether we are affected by it, but at the same time, we should also show a dislike to it when we see it. And if we see it happening, then we should try and stop it with our hand, with our tongue, or at least in our heart, feel that it is wrong. And if we don't have that, where a sin is being openly committed and we're just laughing with them. So you might not be backbiting, you might not be saying anything, but you're sitting in a gathering in which people are talking about a certain individual, about his appearance, about his clothes, about his car, about his house, about his family, about his relatives, about anything, things that we mentioned earlier on, about the fact that, you know, his spiritual being, his fact that, you know, he reads his namaz fast, or, you know, the things that you might say, oh, he does whilst he's fasting, or, you know, that he's financially capable and he's not been on the hajj, and, oh, he doesn't pay the zakat, and all these things that you might say about him. And everybody else might be talking about it. And you think to yourself that, well, I'm not saying anything, but you're smirking. You're nodding. Astaghfirullah, you start laughing. And before you know it, if you're not careful, you might join in. But you might say, okay, well, I've not joined in. But why are you just sitting there? If you cannot stop the situation, then you should get up and leave the place. You know, there's been instances of the past where worse sins are being committed. Where sins are being committed, the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jalla has fallen on that place. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the companions, that do you know what backbiting is? It was humbly replied that Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Rasul know better. Then the beloved and blessed Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, backbiting is that you talk about your brother in a way in which he dislikes. He was humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what if he has that fault? What if he genuinely has that fault in him? And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if he has that fault that you're talking about, then you have committed backbiting against him. And if he does not have this fault, then you have slandered him. Committing backbiting, viewers of my channel, is a grave sin, totally a haram. And in the Holy Quran, such a person is like the one who eats the flesh of his dead brother. Yes, the flesh of his dead brother. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Hajarat, ayat number 12, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. And do not backbite one another. Would any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would not tolerate it. Allahu Akbar. Alama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated, with regarding to this ayat that I just mentioned, one should not even tolerate backbiting against his Muslim brother, because calling him bad behind his back is like eating his flesh after his death. Because the way a person feels pain if his flesh is cut, similarly, backbiting gives pain to his heart, and in fact, honor is more important than his flesh. And the reason of revelation is mentioned in Tafsir Khazanul Irfan. It is stated that when the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was set out on jihad, he would group one person, poor person, with two rich individuals, so that the poor person would serve his rich companions and the rich would feed him. This way, all would benefit from each other. Similarly, Sayyidina Salman radiallahu anhu was grouped with two individuals. One day he fell asleep and could not prepare a meal, so his companions set out to the beloved and blessed beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to get food. Sayyidina Osama radiallahu anhu was the servant of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who did not have any food left. He said that he had nothing. Sayyidina Salman returned and said the same to his companions. When he informed his companions, they replied, Osama has become stingy. When these two people went to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to them, listen to this, I can see the color of flesh in your mouth. They humbly said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have not eaten any meat. The Holy Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, you've committed backbiting, and the one who backbites against a Muslim is the flesh of a Muslim. Astaghfirullah. Committing backbiting has been declared to be the worst deed, like eating the flesh of his dead brother. But despite of this, nowadays, unfortunately, we have no concern. We carry on and commit this sin, and we don't even realize it. We're going to take a small break. We're going to go to the Kalam of the day. And then after the Kalam of the day, I'm going to give you examples. And I want you to listen to these examples carefully, because in many, many aspects of our life, we commit the sin of backbiting. And the problem is we don't realize. And that is the biggest problem. If you don't realize you're committing the sin, how can you safeguard yourself from that sin? So as Muslims, we need to be aware of it. If I was to say to you that, you know, if you did not know, for example, that the doctor has said to you that you have diabetes, and you did not know that eating cream cakes would affect your sugar level, then you'd continue eating it. Because you didn't, as far as you're concerned, there's no connection. You do not realize that me eating cream cakes, or if you have cholesterol, you're eating fatty foods, fried foods, and when you're eating them fatty foods, it's affecting your cholesterol, and you don't realize this. And the doctor doesn't tell you this. The doctor just says, you've got cholesterol, you need to take these tablets. But he doesn't tell you what's caused this illness, what can make this illness worse. If he didn't tell you this, then you wouldn't avoid that. So the sin of backbiting can only be avoided if we know the symptoms, if we know the things that are going to cause this backbiting sin, this disease of the heart, to get worse. So we need to know. We've given you a definition, and that's quite a broad definition. And I keep on saying this, viewers of my channel, I'll keep on saying it to the end of the program. Backbiting, a cancer against society. Please, please, please download that book completely free of charge, www.dawatislami.net. But I would also advise you, I would also advise all of you to get a copy of that book. And I would advise everybody to not just read that book, but read that book as a family. You know, 3 pages a day, seven minutes, even if it's 1 page a day. I don't know, 400, 500, 600 pages, 1 page a day, over a year, over 2 years, you've completed the book. But the knowledge that you will gain in reading that book, and it'll prevent you. People go to the gym to get fit, and they'll go there and they say, oh, I need to go to the gym for the next 6 months, for the next 2 years, to lose that weight, to get myself fit. I'm saying to you, read this book. You might need to read it for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, but you'll get spiritually fit. But then again, we won't do that, will we? We'll go to the gym. We'll pay good money to go to the gym. We'll take all that extra time. I'm saying to you, read this book for 7 minutes a day. You will not go to the gym for 7 minutes. You go there for a minimum half an hour, 2 hours. But you'll go there for an hour, but you will not read a book for 7 minutes. So please, viewers of my channel, I implore you, I beg you, request you to please, you know, make yourself realize that these diseases are affecting us. And inshallah, we're going to go to the Kalam of the day. When we come back, I'm going to give you many examples of what backbiting actually is. Some of the words that we use about people behind their backs that could be classed as backbiting. Let's go to the Kalam of the day, and then inshallah, when we come back, we'll try and give you as many examples as we can. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mere Mawla, Mere Mawla, Mere Mawla, 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 Mawla. Allah ne bulaya hai, Allah ke ghar mein ho. Allah ke ghar mein ho, Allah ne bulaya hai, Allah ke ghar mein ho, Kaabe ka nazara hai, Allah ke ghar mein ho, darbar ye kaisa hai, peshani se pehle dil. Kaisa hai peshani se pehle dil sajde mein jhukaya hai Allah ke ghar mein ho sajde mein jhukaya hai Allah ke ghar mein ho Allah ne bulaya hai Allah ke ghar mein ho, wo rukn-e-yamani ho, یا رکن عراقی ہو وہ رکن یمانی ہو یا رکن عراقی ہو ہر کون کو چوما ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہو ہر کون کو چوما ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہو مولا نے بلایا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہو کعبے کا نظارہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہو یہ وقت عزت کا میزاب رحمت کا یہ وقت عزت کا میزاب رحمت کا سر پر یہی سایہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں سر پر یہی سایہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں اللہ نے بلایا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں کعبے کا نظارہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں مہمان خدا کے گئے اب فکر نہیں کوئی مہمان خدا کے گئے اب فکر نہیں کوئی اللہ نے کھلانا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں اللہ نے کھلانا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں مولا نے بلایا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں کعبے کا نظارہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں جس سمت نظر اٹھی ایک نور نظر آیا جس سمت نظر اٹھی ایک نور نظر آیا پر نور نظارہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں پر نور نظارہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں اللہ نے بلایا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں کعبے کا نظارہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں سجدے میں اجاگر ہے اور سامنے کعبہ ہے سجدے میں اجاگر ہے اور سامنے کعبہ ہے مولا نے نوازا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں مولا نے نوازا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں اللہ نے بلایا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں کعبے کا نظارہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں اللہ نے بلایا ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں کعبے کا نظارہ ہے اللہ کے گھر میں ہوں
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow, and in this program talk we're talking about backbiting and how our pious predecessors would have a hatred towards it. And it's something that we need to reflect on. And in before the kalam at the beginning of the program, we mentioned the definition of backbiting. We mentioned how some of our pious predecessors would get up from those gatherings in which backbiting took place. But I think I'm going to give you quite a few examples now, and of terms, words that we use, and we use them about individuals when they're not with us, behind their backs effectively. And, you know, if you realize that when you look at our gatherings, when you look at our sittings, when you look at, be it in the home, be it in any gathering, even in religious gatherings, that unfortunately in every gathering, in every aspect of gatherings, unfortunately, unless you are very, very careful, you can be committing the sin of backbiting. And I'm going to give you some examples. For example, if you call someone a worldly person, he loves the dunya. If you said that, oh, he oppresses his wife, he's really harsh on his wife, he's really controlling of his wife, this is backbiting. You know, he's not willing to pay back the loan, he's borrowed money up. You know that person, he's borrowed money up, he never pays back the loan. He's such a bad person when it comes to paying back the loan. You know, you call someone a thief, you call someone treacherous, you call someone faithless, that his iman is not very strong. You know, his iman is not a trustworthy person, he's a swindler, he's disloyal, you know. And then you talk about his intellect, oh, he's stupid, he's not a very clever person. You know, he's unintelligent, he's idiotic, you know, he talks foolishly, he doesn't talk properly, he doesn't know how to talk. You know, and then when he talks, he's too proud and confident of himself. Oh, he's dim-witted. These are all terms of backbiting, effectively, that you are backbiting. Even, like I said earlier on, even if them are true, even if that person is, you know, someone that might talk foolishly, yeah? But saying that behind his back is backbiting. You know, if you say, oh, he doesn't understand, then it's pointless explaining it, so he won't understand it. He doesn't understand, yeah? Oh, he always thinks negative about this. He's always negative-minded, negative. That's all he is. He's not very positive-minded. He's a very negative-minded person. This is backbiting, you know? He doesn't fulfill his duty. This is his zimadari. This is his job. He doesn't do it properly. Be it that in a workplace where he doesn't do his duty properly, even within the environment of the Islam, he doesn't fulfill his zimadari. He doesn't do his zimadari properly. He doesn't give the right amount of time. He doesn't, you know, do the madani works as they should be done. This is all backbiting, you know? He consumes haram, you know, to say that, oh, this person, he eats haram, you know? He eats haram food or his income is haram. Again, this is backbiting, even if it's true. You know, he's arrogant. He's a very arrogant. You don't know that person. He's a really arrogant person. Oh, I can't stand him. He's so arrogant. This is backbiting. He's greedy. He's tight-fisted. Oh, he won't spend any money. Pointless. Don't bother going to him asking for any money. He's not going to give you any donations. He's a tight-fisted person. He's a greedy person. You're wasting your time with him. Backbiting. Stingy. He's a miser. He doesn't listen to anyone. Don't bother, you're wasting your time talking. He doesn't listen to anyone. He's not going to listen to you. He always thinks he's right. He always thinks he knows best. Yeah? You're wasting your time with this person. He doesn't listen to anyone. Backbiting. He promotes his own skills. You know, he shows off and says, I'm this. He doesn't look at his own weaknesses. And he does not allow anyone else to get ahead. Be it in any company, be it in Dawah Islamiyah, that people, when they get into a position of management, they don't want other people to bring them up. And even if you are true and saying that, but why are you saying it about him? Don't say it about him. He bosses people around. He's fussy. He pesters other people. He's stubborn. He's such a stubborn person. He won't listen to you. Again, backbiting. You know, money is like a magnet to him. Wherever he sees it, he runs towards it. That's his attitude. As long as there's money involved, he'll run towards it. And you'll see people, oh, if he had the opportunity to work 24 hours a day, he'd work 24 hours a day. You know, if he had the opportunity to go somewhere else and make 2 pence more, he would go there. All right, maybe he would, but why are you saying it? Why are you saying it? What have you achieved in saying these things that I mentioned so far? And like I said, they are true. These things that you're saying, they're the truth. Because if they're not the truth, it's slander, and slander is even worse. These are things that are true that you said about this person. So what have you achieved? Oh, he acts as if he owns the place. He thinks he owns this place. He thinks he runs this place. He thinks he's the king here, right? He's so materialistic. He's bothered about is materialistic things. He doesn't care about the poor people. He doesn't care about people like me. He wants to sit with them sort of people. And he is a money-oriented person. These are all terms. Terms of backbiting where you're talking about a person. Again, all of these terms, I need to mention this again and again and again, that all of these things that you're saying about that person are true. All of the things that you're saying about that person are true. It's backbiting. When it's not true, it's slander, which is even worse. All of these things you've said about these people, they are true. He's a bootlicker. Yeah? He's spineless. Yeah? He pokes his nose in everybody's affair. He wants to know what's going on. He's such a nosy person. These are all terms of backbiting. Oh, he's got no shame, that person. His phone went off in the masjid. Yeah? Can you not realize that you need to switch your phone off the masjid? You know, people are reading the namaz and sometimes someone's phone goes off. Why do you have to tell everybody it was that person? Why? What have you achieved by telling everybody you mean, oh, it was him? What a shameless person you are. Did you know, even the imam made the announcement, yeah, that please switch your phone off. He didn't listen. He's got no shame, yeah. And look at his ringtone that he's got. Astaghfirullah, the ringtone that he's got. A music ringtone, and we're listening to it, astaghfirullah. Backbiting. Why are you doing it? Why are you saying this about people? He's a selfish person. He thinks he knows it all. He thinks he's a very wise person. You know that person over there? He's not very religious. Yeah. He's not a very religious person. You know, don't think he's religious. He's not very religious. These are all backbiting. And you talk, you know, when people talk about, what are you talking about, our imam? That he's such a good person. He's on a salary. He should be doing it. If he comes in and reads the namaz and he's got beautiful kiddo, well, he's paid to do it. So what? Why are you saying this? Why are you saying this about someone? You say about people, oh, he established relationship with the rich people. Our muazzin, our imam, that person who he established relationships with rich people so he can benefit from them. Why are you saying this? Like I said, it's all true, but it's backbiting. It's all true, but it's backbiting. He's not a practicing Muslim. He doesn't practice his faith properly. He doesn't have much Islamic knowledge. He does not even know how to offer salah properly. Astaghfirullah. Such and such, you know, this person that you're talking about, that person is more practicing than him. Why are you saying these things? These are all backbiting. Oh, there are many people better than him. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know why you're praising that, but there's so many people better than him. He boasts, he praises himself a lot. He loves listening to his own praise. You know, he's on the road to fame. He wants to become famous. He only does it for fame. He does it so they can have social media likes. He takes all these pictures so that people can have all these likes on social media and people like him and follow him. This is why he's doing it. All right, even if it's true, why are you saying it? Why are you saying it? You're backbiting about that person. He wants to be praised. He likes to be praised. These, again, backbiting. Oh, you know, he's getting fat. He's putting a lot of weight on. You know, again, he likes to sit at the front. You know, he likes to be videoed in a gathering. He wants to make sure that the camera's on him, that the camera sees him. Yeah. He tells tales. He's a troublemaker. He's a hypocrite. He's a cheat. He breaks promises. You know, and you also say to, oh, he commits backbiting. You're saying it about someone that, oh, he backbites, and yet you're backbiting yourself. You don't realize by you saying it that he backbites, you are backbiting. He has a low opinion of people. He tells lies. He's committed a bad deed. He's lazy. He's a gambler. Yeah. He's a drug addict. He's a nicotine addict. He's a heroin addict. He has no character. He's intoxicated all the time. You don't know that person. He's always under the influence of drugs. He's always under the influence of alcohol. What are you doing with that person? You know, and people will say, oh, my father, he doesn't care about halal and haram. Astaghfirullah, you're backbiting about your own father. You're backbiting about your own father. And you say to him, oh, my elder brother, he doesn't offer salah. My sister doesn't offer salah. My sister doesn't wear parda. My parents, they quarrel with each other. Why are you telling people that your parents quarrel with each other? You know, we need to reflect on this. Why are you telling people that your parents, they quarrel with each other, they have arguments with each other? Why are you telling people? You're degrading them. You're backbiting them. You know, you should be showing that respect to them, but instead what you're doing, you're degrading them. Nobody in my home, nobody in my home knows how to read the Quran properly. Why are you telling people this? My younger brother, he watches films and dramas. He goes to the seminar on a regular basis. You know that person, he acts like a Sufi, but doesn't even offer a single salah. Why are you saying these things? You know, that person, he doesn't even have money to buy a cup of tea yet. He's got an expensive car. How's he doing that? Where's that money come from? Huh? Where do you think that's money come from? This is backbiting. He must have stolen that money. Yeah. And then we talk about the religious people, the people in the masjid, the imam, the muezzin, the committee members, all of a sudden they have a new car. Oh, he must have stolen that money. Yeah, he's stolen that money from the donation. Well, how do you know this? How do you know this? And if it is true, then that person should be reprimanded, that person should be caught, and that person should be dealt with. But if it's not true, you're slandering that person. And in Islam, you need to be very careful when you put an allegation on someone. If you don't have the proof, then you need to remain silent. He will talk about himself in the speech and then he'll come to the point. You know, when he does a speech, he praises himself and then he talks to them. Again, we should not be doing this. You know, when he needed me, he would call me. Now he doesn't bother calling me. He doesn't need me anymore. These are things. He does not consider calling me important. I call him all the time. He doesn't. He's totally forgotten us after he got married. You know, someone gets married and then they're busy with their wives and their family. He's forgotten us now. He doesn't care about us. He hasn't got time for us anymore. He's got his own problems to solve. You know, he's probably running around doing extra overtime now. He's got to give his family time. He's got to give his wife time. He's got to give his in-laws time. He's got to go all these other time. And the problem is, if you don't think positive about people, You know, even if that person no longer is giving you time, so what? Is it fard wajib upon him to give you time? No, it's not. So why are you saying these things about that person? Why are you backbiting? Because you are ultimately the loser when you say these things. You know, he's a horrible, he's always hankering after money. He has spent the funds inappropriately instead of distributing them to the poor people. He runs after the people to get votes. You know, people that are running for votes, he's running after people just to get votes. You know, he's living a lap of luxury, yeah, on state funds. This person is on state funds and this is how he's living. You know, he's a traitor, he's this. These are all phrases of backbiting. These are all things that people do. And then you know what happens is, when you're sitting in a gathering, and this is just a few examples, like I said, you need to read the book, Backbiting, A Cancer of Society. And in that, there is so many different types of gatherings. When you're in a religious gathering, what are the common backbiting phrases there? Religious, in the home gathering, in the college, in the environment, all the different environments, the types of backbiting phrases, and unless you read them, your eye will open and you think, oh my God, you know, this is happening as well. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, oh, astaghfirullah, I did this. This is what you should really be. You should be really reading that book with intention that, am I? What about me? Am I affected by this? And then you know what happens is when you backbite about someone, you try to convince that person. You know what I mean? Yeah, you agree with me, don't you? It's true though, isn't it? This person is like that. What can I say? You know, I'm telling you, that's what he's like. Yeah. So it's okay, isn't it? It's okay to, I'm saying it. And people then pray, well, I'm saying it openly. I'm not hiding it. Call him, I'll say it to his face. You mean you so blatantly commit the sin that you'll proudly tell him from me, yeah, well, it's okay, innit? I know it's true. Well, that's what backbiting is, my friend. That when it is true and you say about it, that's what backbiting is. You know, we go to weddings and we eat the food. Oh, there's too much oil there. There's too much sugar there. There's not enough dishes there. Oh, they're stingy. They only had a few dishes there. Oh, the meat's got the salad, the curry's got too much oil in it. You know, people can hear me now, but if I was to say, oh, this tea doesn't have enough sugar in it, oh, it's not strong enough, oh, it's too cold, it's too this, and these brothers couldn't hear me. Yeah? It's backbiting. This is all backbiting. Why? Why are we doing these things? The question I want to ask you is, how have we benefited? How do we benefit from backbiting? You know, alhamdulillah, I had the company of being with Nigran Ashura the many times that he came to the UK. And Nigran Ashura is a very intelligent person. And I've seen it on Madri Channel where he'll call many youngsters and they'll ask all sorts of questions about the problems in society, all the different problems. And mashallah, he has the intellect to be able to answer the questions, the wit of the quick thinking to be able to come up and answer. I remember there was a gathering in the Midlands here in the UK, and it was with different communities. So it had all the people from different backgrounds. And Nigran Ashura mentioned, he talked about backbiting. And after the speech, some people asked some questions about Dawat Islami in general. And this one young boy, he was about 9 or 10, he put his hand up. He put his hand up. And Nigran Ashura said to him, gee. And he said to him, why do people backbite? And Nigran Ashura, all of a sudden, you know, his face, I could see that for them few seconds, he did not know what to say. He was so confused when he was asked the question, why do people backbite? Why do we backbite? What is the benefit in backbiting? There is no benefit at all. It's just pure loss. And he explained to, you know, once all of a sudden, the shock of the question, I could see, you know, I've had the blessed opportunity to spend a lot of time with Nagran Ashura. I've never seen him, you know, with that facial expression all of a sudden that he was like, almost hit, rather, you know, I don't know what to say here. But then alhamdulillah, he gave a good answer and explained to them that people don't realize that they're backbiting, people don't realize that they're committing this sin, people don't realize what is happening to them. But the question is that once you realize that this is happening, why are we doing it? Why are we backbiting? Tell me one benefit from backbiting. You know, there are many hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tell us, and many of our pious predecessors that have told us that if you remain silent, that is better for you. And I tell you, one of the reasons we backbite is we want the people that are sitting there to listen to me. You know, come into a gathering and you think, you know, everyone's talking, everyone's cut off the story, I've got nothing to say here. I'm gonna have to come up with something, aren't I? What am I gonna talk about? We have to think of something. I'll talk about that person. Yeah, they'll want to hear about that person. They all know that person. You know that person? you know what he's like. Yeah, he's this. You know, the other day he did this. And that just proves my point. I told you so many times that that person is like this. Look what he did the other day. He's such a stingy person that we went out for a cup of tea. And when it was the time to pay for the cup of tea, he disappeared to the toilet. You know what he's like. And so we tried to be part of the gathering. We want to be part of that. So, you know, they say that whenever you make an intention, you will get what you intended. Now, if your intention is to be part of the gathering, then that's what you've got. If your intention is to safeguard yourself from sins, and your intention is to protect your iman, then remain silent and leave the gathering, and that's what you will get. So that is the problem. Our intentions are wrong. Our intentions are not to safeguard ourselves from sins. Our intentions are not to please our Rabb. Our intentions are not to protect our soul. Our intentions are to please the people that we're sitting in front of. So when we are pleasing the people that we're sitting in front of, we start committing the sin of backbiting. We've got one small package, inshallah. Let's go to this final package of the day, and I think we'll only have a few minutes when we come back, and we'll try and wrap up this topic. Let's go to this package. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We need to treat our relatives well. Nowadays, this is a problem. Sayyidina Faqih Abu Layth Samarkandi rahmatullah alayhi has explained there are many, many benefits of treating relative well. Allah Almighty become pleased. People are made happy. Angels are made happy. It earns you praise from Muslims. Shaitan become hurt and upset when relatives are treated well. It increases one's lifespan. It brings blessings in sustenance. When a Muslim behave good towards his family, his deceased Muslim family members even become happy with him. It increases affections amongst each other. It increases reward after a person's demise because people make dua of goodness in his favor. And nowadays, this is a major problem in our society. What we have to do, we have to treat our relatives well and help each other. Please try to engage each other. Try to see each other, inshallah. It will increase love and affection amongst the family. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A very important message there, again, a huge topic, you know, treating our relatives well, treating our parents well. Viewers of my channel, you're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And today we've been talking about backbiting and how the pious predecessors hated it. And their examples were that they would leave themselves, they would come out to them gatherings, or they would try and stop people in them gatherings. And I think if there's one thing that we're taking from today is that, you know, backbiting is prevalent in the society. And a pious predecessor said that when someone backbites, a foul smell comes from their mouth. And people nowadays say, well, you know, okay, backbiting is prevalent in the society, but why can we not smell that foul smell? And the problem is, if you use them on the channel, that foul smell is everywhere, and we just become immune to it. I remember someone once, you know, just as an interesting story, he got his daughter married to camel herders. And when the daughter went to the home of where the camel herders were, then the smell of the camel and the camel dung and all the food and everything was there. And, you know, the father was very worried about his daughter. How would she survive there? How would she manage to stay in that, you know, smell? And a month or so later, she came to her parents' house. And the father and the mother said to her daughter that, you know, that how are you managing there? You know, the smell of the camels, you know, how are you managing there? And she said, oh, no, the smell's gone now. The smell's gone now. It's fine. The smell hadn't gone. What happens is you become immune to it. It's everywhere around you, and it just becomes the norm. And unfortunately, this foul stench of ghibah, backbiting, is all around us. And we need to try and protect ourselves from that. How can we stop ourselves from backbiting? How can we safeguard ourselves from backbiting? One of the solutions of staying safe from backbiting is that when you wish to point out the faults of others, when you wish to point out the faults of others, you should pay attention to your own faults. And you should try to overcome them. And it is a great privilege to become busy in overcoming your own faults. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, good news is for the one whose faults prevent him from finding faults in others. Rather than looking at other people, look at your own faults. Don't look at other people, look at your own faults and try to rectify them and say, you know, I've got this problem. I ain't got time to be concerned with his problems. I've got my own problems to solve. Yeah. He further said, the person who conceals a fault, listen to this, the person who conceals the fault of his brother after seeing it will be made to enter paradise. The person who conceals the fault of his brother after seeing it will be made to enter paradise. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said, whenever you intend to talk about the faults of someone, remember your own faults. Remember your own faults. Viewers on the channel, again, you know, rather than thinking negative about people, highlighting their faults, we should always think positive about people rather than exposing people's mistakes, because it is one thing to commit a sin, but it's also to expose that sin, even if it's your own sin. So we need to be very careful about this. And here, the beautiful advice that we have been given is, rather than looking at the faults in others, yeah, rather than being a doctor of other people's problems, rather than doing the analysis of their situation, do a self-analysis. Look at yourself. You know, where am I? What am I doing? What mistakes am I making? What sins am I committing? Am I so perfect that I can find faults in others? Am I so good that I can find faults in others? And if you think you are perfect, if you think you are so good, then that itself is a problem. That itself is a problem. We have never done enough in this dunya to attain paradise. We try, we strive, and we pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla showers His mercy upon us and we attain paradise. So never think that you've done enough. Don't look at the faults of others, just look at yourself. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we learn something today. But I want to leave you with this one thing before I finish. I know the time is against me. Please download the book, get the book, Backbiting, A Cancer Against Society. It's in Urdu, it's in English, and it might be in other languages as well. A book must read in every household. You need to go through it and highlight these things and you will see, you know, where we are going, where we are not going. Until the next time, viewers of my channel, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul. Oh.